Those songs are right off the pages of Scripture. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." How many of you know God's good? Amen. He's been far better to us than we deserve. Ain't that right? I'm so thankful that we serve a very good God today. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to go to Mark chapter number 1, the second gospel in the New Testament. Mark chapter number 1. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. And like I said, remember to continue to pray for our revival coming up here next week. And I pray God will meet with us in a special way then, but we need God today as well. So I pray that God will speak to you today, as I'm sure He already has through song. I've been wanting to preach this message for probably since the day I got here. I've wanted to preach this text for a long time. This is something that's helped me tremendously in my life. And I'll never forget when Carol Probst called me and he wanted to invite me to come and be the pastor of the church. And I just remember looking at Monica that day. I said, "Isn't it just absolutely amazing what God's called us to do? That I literally get to study the Bible every day of my life and tell other people about it." So let me tell you something. If God's calling you to preach this morning, don't turn it away. Believe me, it's the best life you can ever have. And I'm so thankful God's called me to do this. And I pray that today that this message will bring forth fruit in your life, that it'll make an impact on your life the way it has on my life. So if you're in Mark chapter number 1, find your place in verse number 29. And we'll begin reading through verse 39. The Bible says in Mark 1, verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, and they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them." Isn't it good that the touch of Jesus is still around today? "And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they found him, they said unto him, 'All men seek for thee.' And he said unto them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.' And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." We'll stop right there. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. And I pray that You'll use it today, God, to minister to our heart. Use it today to make an impact on our lives. And God, I pray that we'll determine right now that we will do whatever Your Word tells us to do, that we'll be willing to obey it and take it out and apply it to our life, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity once again to preach Your Holy Word. Lord, we love it today, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, out of the four Gospels in the New Testament, you know that the Gospel of Mark is the shortest Gospel. The Gospel of Mark only has 16 chapters compared to Matthew having 28, Luke having 24, and John having 21. But what is interesting about the Gospel of Mark is it has just about all of the information that the Gospel of Matthew has, just in 12 less chapters. So Mark basically has all that Matthew has, just in 12 less chapters. So therefore, what Mark has to do is he has to make it pretty quick here. He has to put all the information in there very quick. So therefore, what you will study, if you study commentaries, if you study study Bibles at the beginning, most of them will tell you that Mark is a very fast-paced book. Mark is a fast-paced book, and it's characterized by this word, immediately. The word immediately is used 40 times in the Gospel of Mark. In just 16 chapters, that word immediately is used 40 times. And it's just used 9 times here in chapter 1 alone. And when we come to chapter 1 of Mark this morning, we didn't read it, but it began really in verse 21. Because from verse 21 to verse 34, it is all one day. And man, this is a busy day for Jesus here, beginning in verse 21. It says, immediately he went in on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and there he taught. And then he cast out a man who was filled with a demon there in a synagogue. Verse 28 says, immediately he left, and his fame began to spread. In other words, he's now famous because he just cast out a demon from this man. Verse 29 says, and then immediately he went into Simon's house, and his mother-in-law was there, was sick with a fever, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, when I was over in Israel, our tour guide asked a question. He said, why do you think Peter denied Jesus three times? And we all looked at him and said, we don't know. He said, well, I believe it's because Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he never got over it. Probably not the truth, but you can throw in however you want to. This is my sermon. I'll preach it the way I want. Anyway, verse 32. So you got that. All the city. I love you, Suzanne. That's my mother-in-law right there, by the way. That's why I threw that in. Anyway, verse 32. The evening, the whole city was gathered there to see him. And then all this stuff is happening literally busy, busy, busy all day. Now, I want you to think about this. It tells you that it's the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made for rest, as you know. But this is a day Jesus literally got no rest. From verse 21 to verse 34, it's all happening. He's all busy. It's immediately. He never gets a break. And it's all go, go, go. And you know, that's really how the Gospel of Mark is set up through verse 1 through verse 16, okay? Now, the way the Gospel of Mark is set up is sometimes how our life goes. Go, go, go. Sometimes you never even catch a break sometimes. In our world, it is so fast-paced. Every single person in here knows that. We have instant grits. We have instant oatmeal. We've got instant everything. Now listen, if my internet goes down at my house and it's out for 3 minutes, you'll see Justin get mad. That's how fast-paced our world is. Now listen, if I have to wait in the drive-thru for more than 5 minutes, I'm already thinking in my mind what I'm going to tell that lady at the window when she opens it up. But I never do. Our world is literally so fast-paced that our minds have been programmed to it. That literally our days sometimes are just go, go, go. We never catch a break. We get up, we get ready, we fix coffee, we get to work, we pick up the kids, we go to practice, we go to church, we get home, we go to bed, we get up, we do it again, we get up, we get ready, fix coffee, get to work, you pick up the kids, go to church, go home, do it again. All that stuff. I've been practicing that all week and I just got it right. That's how your days are sometimes, isn't it? It's just a constant go. Go, go. Immediately you got to do this. Immediately you got to do that. Immediately this, that, this, that. And that's exactly how this day was for Jesus in Mark chapter number 1. Immediately he taught. Immediately he was famous. Immediately he healed his mother-in-law. Immediately he healed all the demons, all the diseases. Everything is loud. He's got 1,000 different voices probably literally coming at him from every single direction. Everything is hectic all around him. From verse 21 to 34, it's loud. It's constant. But then you get to verse 35 and it's like a complete calm. Because verse 35 tells you this. And in the morning, it's the next day now, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. I want you to imagine that Jesus wakes up before everybody else wakes up on earth. The sun's not even up yet. The stars and the moon are still out. Jesus begins to walk away from all the noise and he starts to go over into a quiet place, a solitary place, all by himself. And it is there that Jesus began to talk and communicate with his Father. And let me throw this in for you. If Jesus needed to get alone with God in the midst of his world, how much do you think we need it to? If Jesus needed to do that, don't you think you and I need to do it as well? Now let me ask you a question. This is going to be an obvious answer, I hope. If somebody were to walk up to you at lunch today and they said, I'm an unbeliever. What do you think my greatest need is? The answer is obvious, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's an obvious answer. But I was asked this question. If a believer walked up to you and asked the very same question, Brother Johnny, what's the Christian's greatest need today? Well, if a Christian were to say, what do you think my greatest need to do is today? Now, I was asked that question. There's a lot of different answers you could give a Christian to what they need. But I was asked that and I considered that this week. And you know, I came over verse 35 and I decided my answer. was in verse 35. That the Christian needs, in the world in which we live, you need time alone with your God. I said you need time alone, quiet, with your God. I believe that is exactly what the Christian's greatest need is today. And see, my first answer was, the Christian's greatest need is to get out and do and serve God. Now that's a good answer, isn't it? Christians need to serve God. But is that more important than being with God? Let's consider. Let me read this for you. It's hard to read. Luke chapter number 10. Everybody knows this story. Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to their house. It says, now it came to pass as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus comes into Mary and Martha's home. Martha is busy cooking him a cake. Martha is busy setting the table. Martha is busy because she wants to serve her Lord. She wants to serve Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. And here's Mary over here. Jesus comes in and she just starts to sit at his feet. She looks at him. They talk. She listens. She's just sitting there spending time with him. And Martha comes to Jesus. She don't even use Mary's name. She says, I want you to tell my sister. You ever done that before? Your son, your daughter, you don't even use her name. That's Martha. Tell my sister that I'm mad. I'm over here serving you all by myself. And look at her just sitting there. Now she's expecting that Jesus is going to say, Mary, get up, start serving me. But Jesus says, hold on, Mary. Mary has done exactly that which she needs to do. In other words, this is what Jesus says. I want you to listen to this. Jesus says, more important than doing much for me is being much with me. I said, more important than doing much for me is being much with me. By the way, if you want to do much for God, you're going to have to be much with God. Those two go hand in hand. And Jesus says, the one thing is needful is for you to be with me, is for you to sit at my feet and listen to me, talk to me. And just spend time in my presence. That's what Jesus told her. Now listen, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you got all by yourself and just sat at Jesus' feet in the presence of God and just listened and just talked to Him all by yourself? Because I can tell you this, unless you're doing that, we're not going to grow in our relationship with God. Unless we are doing that, we're not going to grow in our relationship with God. When you think about the Old Testament, three of the godliest men, Joseph, David, and Daniel. You can debate all day on who is the most godliest. Joseph, David, and Daniel. But the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Wouldn't that be an amazing title for God to talk about you? You're a man, you're a woman after my own heart. I would love for God to say that about me. And David was that way because in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, it said that he went in and just sat before the Lord. That was it. He just went in and sat before the Lord. He praised Him. He talked to Him. He listened to Him. And he just spent time with Him. That was David. Now, you'll see today that I'm talking about having solitude with God. Solitude with God, because that is one of the most important things in the life of a Christian, a very elementary thing, but a very important thing in the life of a born-again child of God. Before we get into our points, I want to ask you three things. Do you have a place? Do you have a place where you spend time alone with God? Because the word solitude means an uninhabited place. You say, now hold on, I live all alone right now. I don't want to spend more time alone than I already do. Well, can I tell you, solitude doesn't mean you're spending time alone. Solitude means you are very much in the presence of God. You are very much with somebody, spending time with Him. And if you don't have a place in your home, I invite you to find one. You know how easy it is to sit down and start reading your Bible and then a text message pops up and you off in another world? Or even you got the TV on and the game starts And it's easy to start watching that than really spending time with God. You need to find a place that's private where there's nothing else around, that's nothing that will distract you. So do you have a place? And you know the answer to that. If not, I encourage you to find a place. Secondly, do you have a time that you spend time with God? I already know what some of you may be thinking. Some days your days are filled with the activities of Jesus. From verse 21 to verse 34, He didn't have time for anything. You say, how can I find time to do this? How can I find time to spend time alone with God? And let me say this. You schedule a time to spend time alone with God. I can't tell you how many times I've passed by my friend on the road, in the restaurant or something, and I'll call him and I'll say, hey man, we need to get together soon. He says, man, that sounds awesome. And we hang up, and guess what? 6 months have gone by, I ain't seen him. But you know what? If I pull out my phone this afternoon and text my best friend and say, 11:30, Friday morning, Chick-fil-A, you want to go? More than likely, it's going to happen. I barely ever miss an appointment at Chick-fil-A. Okay? I make an appointment with him, I'm going to do it. And it's going to have to be the same thing in you spending time with God. You're going to have to mark out that time on a daily basis to say, this is my time where I'm going to spend time alone with God, because it's the most important thing at that time. Now, you don't have to wake up before everybody else woke up, like Jesus did in verse 35. You don't have to do that. I'll be honest with you, I don't do that. You could spend time on your lunch break, 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, that's 30 minutes, that's an hour right there where you can get all by yourself and open up your Bible and just talk to God. Listen to God. Do all those things that you need to do, or even before you get bed. Now, if you say, I'm just too busy for all this stuff, I've got somebody designated in the crowd right now to come by and smack you. You don't know who it is, but don't say, I'm just too busy. Because if you say, I'm just too busy to spend time alone with God, this is what you need to do. You need to give up something. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you need to give up something. Because what you're saying is, those things that I do are more important than me and God. And by the way, the Bible tells us God is a very jealous God. That's right. God is a jealous God. In other words, you put things above Him, He gets jealous of those things. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, God's taken away plenty of things that I placed above Him before. God is a jealous God, so find time to spend alone with God. Now, this is the last thing, and then we'll get right into our message today. What do you do? Some of you may be a new Christian today. You say, what am I supposed to do in my time alone with God? There's nothing that I could mark out for you that this is exactly what you're supposed to do, okay? You can go there, you can get all by yourself, and you can just start talking. Let me tell you this. You don't have to impress God with your words in prayer. Don't try to use big words. Just talk to Him just like you would talk to me, just like you would talk to your regular earthly father. Just talk to Him. That's all He wants to hear anyway. God wants to talk to you. God wants to listen to you. So just go talk to Him. Go open up your Bible and start reading. Just spend time all by yourself, all alone where there's no distractions, and you're there by yourself with God. It doesn't matter what you do. What matters is that you do it. That's all that matters, is that you do it. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, you know, this all sounds good, but why should I do it? Why should I mark out time to spend with God? Some of you may say, I don't like to read. And I'll say, well, you sure do like to read on Facebook. You just don't like to read the book. And I'll tell you what the black preacher said. It's time to get off Facebook and get your face in the book. I'm about to throw a hymnal. Why should you do this? Let me tell you, when you're looking up jobs on a job site, what most people are going to look at is, what's the benefits of this job? You can lie, but everybody looks at the benefits. They're going to give you health insurance, dental insurance. They're going to give you 3 weeks paid off vacation. You're thinking, boy, them benefits are good. I don't care if I have to work 50 hours a week. I get 3 weeks off paid vacation. I'm good. I'll take that job. Because the benefits are so good. Let me tell you something. Spending time with God all alone, let me tell you one thing. The benefits are absolutely amazing. The benefits are so good of spending time with God. And I'm going to give you three of them this morning and I'm done. Number one, spending time alone with God, one of the things that you will experience is the peace of God. The peace of God. How many of you know we need peace in the world we live in? If we could have constant peace, I'm so looking forward to the day in heaven where there'll be constant peace. Because peace is an amazing thing. But for some of you this morning, the only peace that you have is the first few seconds you're awake. You wake up, and 5 seconds later, the thoughts hit your mind. The problems hit your mind. And you don't have another moment of peace until you go to sleep that night. Nearly every single one of us in here know exactly what that's like. To have your mind on the problem all day, all night, and you don't have one lick of peace until you go to sleep again. You know, my burden for you is this, is that Christians go day after day, week after week, month after month, and some, you would be surprised, even year after year, and never spend time alone with God. No wonder we can't find peace. No wonder we don't have any peace. And now, I want you to listen to this. This is absolutely amazing to me. Everyone knows we live in the year 2020. In the year 2020, we have the best doctors that the world has ever seen. The smartest doctors that this world has ever seen live in our generation. The best medicine that this world has ever seen is right now in our generation. Yet you know what? The most anxiety and worry anybody has ever had is right here in this generation. And if you go on Facebook, there's a lot of people asking that question. How do I find peace? Because people are tired of living day after day in the midst of problems, in the midst of constantly a battle in your mind and not having any peace. You'd be amazed at the answers people give them. Where can I find peace? Well, if you just smoke you a little something, you might find it for a few hours. If you just drink just a few drops of this, you might find it. Listen to this music. Be busy throughout the whole day, and you won't have to think about it. And that's one we can get sucked into. That if you're worried about something, if you're anxious about something, you're thinking, as long as I stay busy, I will be fine. But can I tell you, that's not the way to find peace. The way to find peace is not staying busy all the time. The way to find peace is getting all by yourself with the presence of Almighty God. Now, listen, this isn't no Dr. Oz stuff. This isn't no Dr. Phil kind of message this morning of where you can find peace. This is Bible preaching today. And listen to what the Bible says if you want peace. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that verse just said? That if you give your worries, give your cares to God, God will exchange something with you. Give Him your worries, your cares, and the Bible says He will give you His peace. What a good trade. If you just go and give it to Him, casting all your care upon Him, the Bible said pray about everything. Don't let anything just stay in your mind and not pray about it. The Bible says pray about everything. And God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Isaiah 26:3, you need to memorize this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. You know, I never have worry in my mind when I'm thinking about Almighty God. Do you know that? I never have one care, one worry in my mind when my mind is fixed on God. I start to worry when my mind gets fixed on my problems. And you see, what you do is when your mind gets fixed on this, you kind of take God out of the equation. Put God in the equation and He's so much bigger and so much better than your problems. That will keep Him in perfect peace. Not just peace, perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Now listen, I wish I could stay on that point for the next 30 minutes. Because that's exactly, it's easy for us to look at non-Christians and say, you know what, they don't have any peace because they don't have the Prince of Peace, and they don't. But you know what, Christians need peace too. Because in the world in which we live, it's easy to lose the peace that we have. But the Bible says to pray about all things, and you do that when you're all alone with God. So the benefits of being in solitude with God is not only the peace of God, but you'll find the plan of God. You will find the plan of God in your time alone with Him. How many of you know we need direction in our life? You can ask Monica. I could not go one place without that GPS on my phone. I'd get lost nearly every single day of my life. I don't know what y'all did without GPSs. Looked at road signs or something, I don't know. But there was a preacher that pulled over to the gas station one day. He was on his way to the revival in town. He couldn't find the church. So he pulled over and he asked the man, he said, "Where's so-and-so church?" He said, "All you got to do is take a left out of here. 2 miles on the right, you will find the church." He says, "Well, thank you." The preacher turns around. There's a man getting ready to buy soda. And the preacher says, "Sir, we'd like to invite you to revival tonight. Because tonight I'm going to preach on the way to heaven." And the man looked at the preacher. He said, "With all due respect, preacher, you can't even find your way to the church. How can you find your way to heaven?" We all need direction in our life. We all need direction. And when you need direction on what to do, what job to change, what house to move, who to marry, all this stuff, where do you go? Do you go to your parents? It's not a bad idea. Do you go to your preacher? Not a bad idea. But the one place you need to go is to Almighty God for direction in your life. And what's interesting about our text is, you know, so many times in the Gospels you find Jesus praying. And sometimes you just sit there and say, why in the world would Jesus need to pray? He's God. What is He praying about? He knows everything. But you got to understand something. Not only is Jesus fully God, He's also fully man. He needed to pray while He was on earth because He needed direction from the Heavenly Father. And here in our text, He actually needed direction because at the beginning of His ministry, all He did was heal people. He was healing their bodies. That was it. Some of these people weren't getting saved. He was just healing their bodies from the disease. So Jesus really needed direction on what He needed to do. And the question really in Jesus' mind was probably this, whether He should continue to put the stress of His ministry on healing man's body through miracles, place the stress of His ministry on healing man's soul through the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe that's exactly why He goes to pray in verse 35. Because in verse 38 He tells Peter, He says, "Let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." So the reason I've come is not to heal man's body. It is to heal man's soul through the preaching of the Word of God. Because that's exactly what the Word of God does. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why Jesus came, to be a preacher, to preach to people. So when it comes to making decisions in your life, you can follow the pattern of Jesus. Jesus went to the Heavenly Father and asked for direction. The Bible says, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find." That's a promise. That's not something that says, "Well, maybe if you seek, you'll find." Jesus said, "If you do this, you'll find. You'll find the answer to your way." God wants to give us direction, but we've got to seek Him for it. And you know, that comes through being all alone with your Heavenly Father. Did you know that? Some of the greatest plans that's ever been revealed in Scripture was people spending time alone with God. Moses in Exodus 3 was literally on the backside of the desert. You can't get more alone than that. And that is where God showed up in the burning bush and began to speak to him and say, "I'm come down to deliver my people. Now come, and this is the plan that I have for you because I'm going to use you to do it." Moses was all by himself and God came and revealed it. God had to do that because He needed his attention, and He got his attention while He was by himself. Revelation 1, John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had been exiled to an island out there all by himself. And guess who showed up? Jesus showed up and said, "Hey, this is the plan that I have for the future of the world." And He revealed the plan to him. You want to know the plan for your life? Go and ask God for it all by yourself. You say, will He speak to me in an audible voice? No, He'll speak louder. Can I tell you, when He talks to you in your heart through your spirit, that's a whole lot louder than me speaking to you right now. You'll know exactly when He talks to you. You know exactly when He speaks to you. So when you're alone with God, God will give you the peace of God, the plan of God. But number three, and I'll be done, you'll get the power of God. And that's something that I'll tell you what, church, I long for that. I want you to listen to this. Have you ever noticed couples who've been married a long time? They start to talk alike. They start to really act alike. But you know what the scary thing is? start to look alike. I'm sorry, Monica. They start to look alike. Have you ever noticed that? That's weird. Now, I looked it up on Google, because that's what I do. The University of Michigan, a psychologist conducted an experiment to test this phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. He analyzed photographs of couples taken when they were newlyweds, and then 25 years later. And the results showed that the couples had grown to look more like each other over time. And the happier the couple said they were, the more likely they were to have increased in their physical similarity. And he suggested that older couples look more alike because people in close contact mimic each other's facial expressions. So basically what he's saying is the more you spend time with each other, the more you'll start acting like each other, the more you'll start looking like each other. I think Clyde and Rachel look like each other. I'll just be honest with you. But let me tell you, and that's a good thing. Let me tell you something that I want more than anything. I want to look like God to this world. And you know what's interesting in the Old Testament? Moses. I've been studying Moses. He was up there on Mount Sinai for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the Bible says when he came down, the people could not even look at him because his face shone so brightly. You want to know why? Because the Bible says God is a light. God dwells in unapproachable light. And God is brighter than the sun. And Moses was spending time with that Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, for 40 days and for 40 nights. And God's facial expression, His being began to reflect on Moses. And when Moses went down from the mountain, God began to reflect off of him to other people. Remember Peter and John in the temple? They said, these men have been with Jesus. You know what I want more than anything? That when I lay down one day in a casket, I want this world to say, you know what? He looked exactly like Jesus. He was the hands and feet of Jesus. He talked like Jesus. He acted like Jesus. That's what I want more than anything. I want to look like Him. I want to act like Him. I want to be like Him. And you know what? It comes from spending time with Him. Because the more you spend time with somebody, the more you'll start to act like them. And can I tell you, it goes the same exact way in our relationship with God. Don't you want to act and talk and look like God? Start spending time with Him. His reflection will reflect on you, and when you go out into this world, you'll reflect on other people. To be much for God, one must be much with God. With God. Musicians, you can come if you would all stand to your feet. I'm done. I challenge you this week. Because if you don't apply any of this to your life, what I just did was I just wasted 30-some minutes of your life. Because if you just heard it and don't do it, it means nothing. So I challenge you this week to find a time. It doesn't have to be 2 hours, 1 hour. Sometimes it can be 2 minutes. Where you spend it all alone with God. I challenge you to do that this week and find how much He'll begin to transform your life into the likeness of Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for the example You've laid out for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You'll help us to be hungry for You, hungry for Your Word, hungry for Your presence as we go out of this place. God, help us to place You as the most important thing in our life, the most important person in our life. God, we'll just consider You at the top of the list every single day. Lord, we love You. Thank You for putting us first. Thank You for dying for our sins. Lord, I pray for each person in here this morning. I pray that if anything's a burden on their heart and they need peace, I pray they'll cast it all upon You. Find that Your promise is true, that You'll give them peace. Lord, we love You today. Thank You for loving us. Have Your will and Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.